The following is a special Blues Highway podcast.
This is the Soul Man on the Blues Highway podcast. I have a special interview, and actually this is a first. I have four members of the band Never Wonder on the line, and we're going to conduct a little interview, and in the next 40-45 minutes, we're going to get to know these guys like few people have. How you guys doing? I got Vincent and Ramos, and then I have Jay Wise and Fabienne. Right?
There you go. Yeah,
I got it right. Job. Okay. That's awesome. How are you guys doing?
Fab, if it's shorter, I need it for you.
Fab? Hey, okay. That sounds good. Yeah. Listen, I've been checking out your music today because I wanted to. When Doug sent me some stuff, I was really kind of blown away with it. And I thought, this is pretty cool. And so he sent me more stuff. And I think it's the album Never Wonder. And what I'm interested in, I was looking up some stuff on the internet. You guys are all over the place, Spotify and iTunes, you're everywhere. So, but I noticed there was a release, an EP in 2006 with two songs. Is that correct?
Okay, so
that was a long time ago, right? Or is that wrong?
Yeah, that is wrong, and we are updating the.
Okay,
is that the iTunes? And what songs are those?
Moving on, I think, and let me see, your Getaway, maybe.
Give it all.
Yeah, okay, that's it. Yeah, let me get into my libraries here. It makes it a little easier for me to comment on the music because I listen to most. Now that you're telling me that's not right. You know, that makes more sense, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it's 12 years. And those two, well, one of those songs is on your new album that came out last year, right?
Well, okay, yeah.
Just update me on what's going on here.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, I'll give you a little quick thing. So we're coming up to our one-year anniversary with the incarnation that we have. You're sitting on the phone with you today.
Okay.
And I couldn't be prouder to be talking to you right now. We're about to do a big show, and then we got some really cool stuff going on in the summer. So we released two songs last June, and we're recording the new album writing the new album as we're going. But we didn't want to wait, 2.5 years to put it all together and do shows. So we put out two songs a year ago to get the ball rolling so that we can get on shows like yourselves.
Okay.
And that was really important to us to get the momentum out there for Never Wonder. And that song is Give It All and Moving On. And that's what you probably are looking at right now. I know we've had for some reason, a little bit of an issue with our iTunes identification on some stuff. So just want to make sure that we're all on the same page and moving forward. But no, it's all good. And it's just
a little confusing, I thought, but what do I know?
but just to as your journalist interview, Never Wonder has been together in the past. It had other members.
Okay.
But this is the strongest incarnation of Never Wonder ever, and really excited about having everybody on board. And so though we have older songs and stuff like that, but these are the two songs that we put out just to get the ball rolling and get everybody on the same page. And then the new album is here. We're writing. We've got new songs and all kinds of stuff, and we're starting to roll like that. So that's my time. I'll kick it over to your next question.
Okay. Well, your music is really good, and I'm not just saying that. I don't want you to think I'm trying to placate you in any way. I was pretty impressed by it all. And I'm not a real hard rock kind of guy, but that was what I was trying to think. What is this? Where do you put this? Where do you pigeonhole your music into? That's probably my best question. What do you think it is? I put you into my rock folder, but I don't know. You guys are like all over the place with what you do. I feel some blues there, And Fab, your voice is like, man, you could probably do some pretty heavy duty blues stuff if you wanted to do it, you know. But I like what you're doing.
Thank you.
You know, I like what you're doing. But go ahead and try to describe yourself, and then get into a little bit of how y'all met and everything, and how you got to where you are today.
Okay, so maybe I'll take that one for the music part. I don't know, the way I think we describe it at this point, or this like you said, this synchronization of our band. I think we're kind of a hard rock band with a funky edge, you know. I would call it that. We're not totally straight hard rock, but we do have a lot of funk in it. And then, you know, some of my background is in doing a lot of stuff, jazz, and I have a jazz and blues background, actually. So maybe that's what you hear when I sing. But yeah, so I think I bring some of that to the table as well. So we're kind of a mix, I would say, of rock, funk, and some bluesy jazz in there. But we're definitely rock. I mean, there's no doubt about it. If you come see us live, you know, which our next show is this coming weekend at Long Malone's, we're pretty rock. So
yeah, rock with an edge, I'd say. You guys definitely got an edge.
Right, good. I'm glad. That's good to hear. We like the edge.
But when you tone it down, though, when you slow it down, that's when you get that soulful feeling. You know, with that same rock edge, it's there. But like the song that I was listening to was, let me think here. Well, one of them was Save Me. I really liked that song a lot. And Done, I think, was the other one where you really, especially Fab, she's really reaching down and hitting the notes, all the right notes.
Let me help you out there. So let me jump in there.
Absolutely. Okay. And this is Jay or
what's that now?
Now who is this?
No, this is Vincent. Let me set this up a little bit. Okay, as I said, the incarnation of band is new. So you are doing some homework there, Gary. I really, really like that, man. You've gone back in the past and you are absolutely right. That was the very first Never Wonder album back in 2007 or something like that. And that is a different singer, actually, in a different.
My apologies. Yeah,
so, no, awesome, man.
It's all good.
Oh, that is, I mean, and we are very excited about, you know, our history and our who we are. And I will give credit where credit is due. That is Flint and Joy on that, those tracks right there. And good people and all that stuff. But yeah, you went down deep into the ground there and found some stuff. So that's really, really cool. But yeah, we do play some of the songs from the past where Give It All came from that album. That is absolutely correct. And we keep moving forward, but our focus is moving forward on the new stuff. And but yeah, that is actually that's pretty awesome. I'm gonna kick over kick it over.
Yeah, sorry, hang on, just a thing. That's funny that you mentioned Joy, because actually the reason why we picked Give It All to do it in this new incarnation of Never Wonder for the EP is because I did dig that song so much that I really thought we should redo it, you know, all four of us, because that was a good song. And I really appreciate how she sang it, you know what I mean? So, like you said, got to give credit to credit where credit's due.
I think that's what inspired me to want to try
give it a shot, you know? And clearly we put our stamp on it and it's a little different now, and you know.
The one that I listened to, that was probably you then, Fab, the Give It All that I listened to today. That was probably you then, because I think that's what Doug sent me.
The new one is me. the new EP is me, yes, the brand new one.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Picture. Yeah, that's me.
So, okay.
If you have a blonde with crazy hair, it's kind of me. So if it's not that, then I'm not sure.
Okay.
If you have crazy hair, you find me, basically.
So you guys have been together about a year. Now, what kind of venues are you playing right now? Are you playing the festival circuit, or are you just playing whatever, you know, wherever you can land?
Well, I guess I'm going to kick it over to here to this Jay. So far this year, we've done some cool stuff. We've been playing the House of Blues. We've been, we have a year anniversary gig coming up for Molly Malone's. One of the cool things that we're doing is a battle of the bands. And we've, this last month, I think about a month and a half ago, we actually played the first round of battle of the bands, and we actually won, got first place on that.
Not surprised.
So we're looking forward to the second round coming up here in the next few months. And we're pretty confident that we're going to take that as well. It's just been a blast. We also have some recording stuff coming up that we're doing, some live video type feeds that's being worked on, by some of the other band, but yeah, we're doing a lot of cool stuff.
Well, I'm going to try to work, I'll probably one of the EP songs I'll try to work into this week's podcast. Cause you know, when my podcast, they're kind of bluesy, but I also do some rock and classic rock and even at times some country, believe it or not. So I try to move around a lot. I like it to be good. If there's good musicians and you guys are definitely good musicians, then the music's going to be good. And it fits, as far as I'm concerned, it fits my podcast. So.
Awesome. That's great.
I don't like to corral myself. I don't want to just say, well, this is all I'm going to play, because there's so much good music out there. And you guys are definitely some great stuff. What I was going to ask you was, what I was wondering about when I was listening to this stuff, do one of you take on the role as the arranger, kind of the band leader, or is it something you pass around?
That sounds like it's going to be great on this one. We described it in the past is, can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Never Wonder, there's not a chief songwriter per se. We've never been like that. It's always been a collaboration, that sort of thing. Of course, we come in with ideas. We check them out. We see what's up. Seldom does it ever stay just the same how it came in. So I might have a beat and the bass might kind of have a groove over the top. And then we collaborate on that. Jay throws his magic on it. Bob throws her melodies, all that stuff. We are definitely not this is the chief songwriter kind of a band. We are definitely a collaborative force. And I think that's what's kind of the magical thing that happens with Never Wonder. It's always happened like that in the past. Of course, yes, like Vincent alluded to, this EP is kind of stuff that we did in the past to get the ball rolling. However, like Vince and everybody chimed in, they put their stamp of approval, they redid the tracks, that sort of thing. So the song, these songs on this new EP or the EP we released a year ago are the Never Wonder of what is now. Those songs have changed a lot. I think that they're probably at their best state now. But going back to your question, everything that we are like writing and everything that we're going to record is a collaborative force. And that's kind of how we do it. And just let's get down in it.
Yeah.
Our copyright, the way we write it, when we're breaking up these songs, they're 25% of the piece. It's not 50%. I wrote most of it. Any of that stuff. It's literally 25% across the board.
All right. Let's talk about who plays what and who does the vocals mostly and all that. Talk about that, one of you guys, whoever wants to take that one.
Okay. So I'll let everybody kind of chime in on this one. But Vincent, I'm the bass player. And then, you know, Fab, what's she at?
I'm Fabian. I'm the lead singer. And sometimes I pretend to play a little acoustic guitar.
Definitely true.
Yeah.
Shut up, Jay.
I'm Jay. I'm the guitarist. What's awesome about what I bring to the band is I bring many styles. I started out in the metal scene, and now I went to jazz, and then I crossed over to blues jazz, then regular blues. But at heart, I'm a heavy rocker. I bring a lot of that heavy edge to the band, with a lot of distortion and a lot of heavy guitars.
And that leaves Dre.
Yeah, Dre drums.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of an inside joke. I'm a drummer, but really I'm a musician. I play different instruments. I do some backups as well, and Jay does too, Vincent. Just all around, I guess just a music lover in general, but drums is my my focus here in this band, but I dive into other things as well.
Dre, let me ask you, who inspires you as far as a drummer goes? Past drummers from the past, who do you look towards as kind of like, that's where I'd want to be?
You know, it's so cliche. I always admired John Bottom. I lost the guy right now. The guy from Missing Persons, I always liked. Tony Bazzio, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm.
That's from back in those days. You know, Neil Peart, everybody. I even like, you know, as simple as it is Phil Rudd, which was the original for AC/DC. But that, it's all backbone, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a lot of, that's me. I like a lot of good solid grooves. And he was the epitome of a solid groove. Everybody's like, I could play that. But it's really hard to play that, you know, to be honest with you. The basic shit is really hard to play. It's almost harder than the heavier stuff, what I've found out. But I guess now I kind of like the dude from, which was the Audio Slave guy. Just another groove monster. I'm about that. I'm just about the groove. I'm not about a bunch of fills and a bunch of that. I've never been about that. But I like that. Don't get me wrong, but...
I'm going to date myself. I'm going to date myself here a little bit. I always was like the guy that I thought the drummer that I thought was maybe the greatest. Who knows? You know, I really kind of hate to go there. Who was the greatest? This, that, and the other. It's all so opinionated. But the guy that I really admired as a drummer was Ginger Baker.
Oh yeah.
You know, I thought, man, he carried Cream for the longest time. Everybody talks about Clapton, and I love Clapton. Don't get me wrong, but if you listen, go back and listen to their first album, Ginger Baker, his drumming is so prominent. You know, it's just incredible. I don't think I've ever heard of John Bonham gets close, though. You know, he might be there. But, you know, that's interesting. You know, okay, guys, let's just keep going with this. Jay, you're the lead guitarist. Who inspires you?
Yeah, well, I have a lot of inspirations. I came up in the 80s, so a lot of the guys from you know, Glenn Tipton, those guys from Judas Priest and all that. But as I got older, man, I really got into some other great players like Santana and Neil Sean. You know, they were both in Santana, and then Neil Sean with The Journey. And I love his jazz and his bluesy riffs that he threw into it. But man, I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more I appreciate the guys that move standards. Joe Pass, Wes Montgomery,
You
know, just guys like that that just, you know, they dominate the guitar. And as a guitarist, you know, if you could edge up on doing some of that kind of stuff, that kind of jazz contemporary, it makes you a player that's just you know, has no challenges other than that. So,
right.
So I'm into a lot of those type of guys. Of course I'm into, I'm into Hendrix. I love it. Who doesn't love what Hendrix does? And a lot of B.B. King, I mean, a guy that played just a few notes, but every note he played counted, and it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
A vibrato that you just can't, that you just can't compare with. So, you know, I just, of course, let's not forget Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, definitely a prodigy of his day. I like guys like Randy Rhoads too. You know, that Eddie Van Halen. So, I play a great variety of stuff. So, but with Never Wonder, I try to keep it simple. I try to keep it to have a great vibe and have more of a funky bluesy feel. So. And that's a challenge for me because, you know, I'm a guitar player that likes to play a lot of notes. Don't say a word, you guys. I know you want to say something about that.
Well, let me just say, listening to...
No.
Well, he forgot Chuck Berry. I thought that was one of
the... Yeah, Chuck. Yeah, definitely. Let me just say, listening to those two songs on the EP, I mean, I'm impressed with how you guys, like, you know, your leads come in really nice. You know when to take off. And the other members of the band kind of let you go, you know, just back you up. I think that's pretty interesting how you know to do that. Is that just something that's like, I don't know, is that born into you or does it just come from rehearsal?
You know, it's all about it's all about adding your part to the band that, that makes the song complete. And if the guys in the band are saying, hey, Jay, you know, you're that, that's a little bit too busy, or let's try to work on this part, then that's what we do. Because that's the, going back to the other question, it's a collaborative effort that we all do in order to make the songs as professional and as approachable as possible by the listeners.
Yeah.
I want to add this. There's a fifth element or fifth member that happens, which is our producer, when you're hearing it at your level, you know, which is E, and For the Record, which did a slamming job on these last two songs. So E really, I mean, we definitely walked in with what we wanted to do, but he definitely took it to that next level as a producer. And I got to give him his props.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, producers. Producers are important. And you could tell the difference between the ones that have been doing it for a while and the ones who haven't. I mean, there's a whole different sound to the guys that know the business and know. And I always find producing fascinating. Do you think that's something where one of you guys, Vincent, as one of you guys might want to go in that direction someday?
I didn't know your name was Vincent too, because it was such a beautiful name.
I can't hear you guys.
I was such a beautiful name.
You are a beautiful name.
Oh God.
I have to butt in here for a minute.
Yeah.
Fab, you're much better looking than a Mutter Tree guy.
You guys, I didn't know I needed to wear my boots because we're calling a lot of bullshit here, buddy. Yeah. Okay, come on.
All right, so Bob, go ahead. I don't know where you were going, so I don't know if you were going to add. I don't know which show.
I was just going to say about the producer thing. I actually did a producer course last year, a year and a half ago, because I wanted to learn how it works. And, from a singer's standpoint, I think a lot of singers don't necessarily know how to do that or don't get interested. And I think they should, because your mind a lot more about, you know, broaden your horizon a little bit more on how to produce a song, what goes down behind it, and also, the vocabulary as well. You know, sometimes you're behind the mic, you're trying to express an idea, and you just don't have the words, you know.
Well, I encourage you to do that, because I think you bring so much, you bring so much to the table that can only help you, you know.
Right. Yeah, so that's what I did. Anyways, I just wanted to say that, because that really, really just, I think, made it even better for me as a singer. I think anything you can learn, even if it's not 100% pertaining to your instrument, it's still valuable, you know.
Absolutely.
Music, so, you know.
Let me get back to you in a minute, Fab. I want to talk to Vincent for just a second, because I, as a bass player, I got to tell you, I think bass playing can be overlooked sometimes. But a good bass player really can give the a song so much depth and keep the beat and all of those things. And without it, I don't know. I like the way you play bass. I'd like to see you like go off on some riffs sometimes. That would be awesome, mm-hmm. because I bet you could do it.
Well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you noticing that. And I do agree with you. But when you're a bass player, you still have to know your place inside the group, and meaning what's best for the song. And to the credit of a lot of the band members I have right now, they do allow me to do some things that most bass players don't do. But with that, you have to have restraint and understanding that what is best for the song is best for the song. So we go about it. Like Flea from the Chili Peppers is one heck of a bass player. We can go down the list of a lot of bass players. But you have to listen to the song, and sometimes you take yourself away from it, and putting the producer hat on is what you kind of said. You sit back and say, okay, yeah, I could slap here. I could do this. I could riff here. But what is the guitar player doing? What's the drums doing? What are the vocal lines doing? And then you find that those spaces in between the ghost areas that you can add stuff. And that's the challenge for me as a bass player, is to find the ghost areas to make sure that there's a lot of rhythm. So, to what I like is groove, soul, disco, rock, pop. I like metal and all that stuff, but the biggest important thing as a bass player is making sure that people are bopping and having a good time and grooving. And that's my job with Dre, in particular, on the underground, behind the thing, subsonic notes that are going on. and we really focus on that. And then you add the layers of Jay's guitar on top, which is not going against each other, and stuff like that. So that's I appreciate the question, because really nobody really asks those questions.
Oh, I love bass playing too. I listen for it. You know, whenever I'm listening to music, I literally listen for it. Because it's not hard to pick out lead guitar. No offense, Jay, but it's not hard to pick it out. Hear it right away. You know, and I know some bands will have a rhythm guitar player as part of a third member of the rhythm section. So, but a good guitar player, and Jay, you are definitely a good guitar player. You could carry both parts. You don't necessarily have to have that rhythm guitars, and you carry both parts, and I think that's important. But the bass, man, bass, that bottom, that's just to me, it really fundamentally builds a song. I mean, that's your foundation to build a song, in my opinion. Yep. And I'm not a musician.
Gary, don't get us wrong here. We tried to get a rhythm guitar player. Jay wouldn't have it, so,
I was working towards that, man. I mean, I don't know what you guys.
Oh God!
No!
I could do two to three things at the same time. Just ask my girlfriend. Okay.
What's her name? I'm ringing her up. I want to get some clarification on this.
But, you know, let me add to what you're saying about the bass. Dre and Vince have been in the LA circuit a long ass time since the, you know, I'm not trying to tell you their age, but they're actually known in LA for being one of the better rhythm sections in LA. So they have that title, and it's awesome.
Well, you guys got all the parts in place, and I want to get to Fab now. I saved you for last for a reason. Talk to me about your inspiration, because your vocals are pretty good. I mean, wow. And so I'm interested to know where you draw from, and have you had any professional training in vocals? Or is that just all natural talent?
Vince, are you laughing right now?
I'm laughing.
One or two Pandora's box here.
One or two lessons. I'm mostly a karaoke singer, but
that's what I do on the weekends. Actually, I make a couple of bucks that way.
That's fucking great.
Now, boys, let her talk.
See, this is what I put up with on a weekly basis.
Okay. You have my respect.
Thank you. So, yes. All right. So, answer the first question. What are my influences? I'm from Europe, as you can probably hear. Where I'm from, classical is predominant. So when you're trying to get into music, they kind of throw you in that a lot. So I have a classical background, partially. My father played trumpet. He was a trumpet player. So I grew up with jazz and blues at home. And my mom introduced me to a lot of black music, rhythm and blues, you know, and Stevie Wonder and Elvis and all that. So that was kind of what I grew up around. And then my own taste, it's pretty eclectic. I love a lot of the European bands, especially the British band. I love The Cure when I was growing up. I'm a big Kate Bush fan. I think her vocals are beautiful. And I would say that I really appreciate a vocalist who can be subtle when she needs to be and be powerful when she needs to be. And that, for me, that's, you know, that I'm more looking for texture and things like that in a singer than having, you know, someone who's going to blast my ears off because they can belt, you know. I prefer someone who can go up and down the ladder, you know.
Right. And you definitely do.
Thank you. So that's kind of what I'm a Pat Benatar fan, of course. You know, a lot of the rockers out there. I love rock and roll, all that stuff. But I'm also a big fan of all the mellow things. I love blues. I'm a big blues fan. So a lot of eclectic, different things, really. Like, I guess my influences are a bit all over the place. I like some of the French music as well. You know, just... some pop stuff as well. Anything that grooves or kind of moves me in some way. But as far as my singers and influences, I would say Kate Bush, Pat Benatar. Believe it or not, I loved Whitney Houston. I thought she was unbelievable. And as far as rock goes, I'm a big Led Zeppelin, so Robert
Plant. Yeah. Robert Plant had some range, and I think you have range too. So I mean that can be important, you know. But absolutely. Like I said,
that's my answer for that. Now, background as far as vocals and technique goes, yes, I have a pretty extensive technique background. I started singing and learning how to sing since I was 7 years old. So I've studied a lot. I came here to study. I started in Europe studying, and then I came here. I went to MI when I was in my 20s, and then I went to, and then I did privately the Juilliard program with the professor that I used to teach at Juilliard.
Well, that's impressive. So
I have a pretty extensive background in vocals and stuff.
I love your vocals.
And now I teach. So there you go. So I try to pass it along. So yes, I do have.
I can't wait to hear more. That's what I'm looking forward to that when I can hear a little more.
So Gary, I want to chime in just real quick.
Sure.
Bob's an excellent vocalist. And she has a hell of a range. And she is.
Thank you.
Can you guys hear me or no?
Yeah, we got you.
So, yeah, she's an amazing vocalist, and she actually. She has a hell of a range, and she's easy to work with. She doesn't have LSD, you know, so.
LSD?
It's really hard to find someone that you collaborate really easy with in that field, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But Bob is you can tell her stuff, you can critique her, and she'll tell you how to sing stuff. You know, I'm cool. She'll show me, hey, sing like this. You're singing flat here, whatever the case may be. But she is an excellent vocalist, and she's a great teacher as well. So I really like working with her.
Thank you, Dre.
I just wanted to put it on record.
Right back at you.
Now,
she's a PETA. She's a PETA. Yeah.
Is there times, though, when one of you guys do a lead vocal on a song? Is that, you know, where a song where one of you guys – or do you do mostly backing vocals for Fab?
We just do the backing vocals. You know, when you have somebody that has Bob's voice, you know, I'll get on the mic and I'm going to sound more like Kermit the Frog, okay? Because you know, it's just like she's got a clarity and a professionalism to her voice. But the closest one that does do lead vocals is Dre. Dre actually sings very well with Fabienne. He takes 90% of the backing vocals.
Yeah, and he does great for that. Yeah,
some of those backing vocals are lead vocals. So, you know, and a drummer that can sing well is very rare as well. So,
this isn't easy.
I always was like impressed with you take like Levon Helm. I mean, how do you keep that drumming beat going and then belt out a tune that good? Dre, you want to talk about that? That has to be a challenge to keep the beat going and, you know, remember all the words and make it count.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, there's times where I'm like, I don't know if I could do that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But they always encourage, they're like, oh,
we can't
Dre,
tell.
You got
I can
this,
tell
you
right
you
now,
this.
Man. Can't
you
tell know, because they're great.
I think you have to know your limitations on what you can and can't do and then just, you know, apply it and see what works. I think you have to work on it and make sure it's cool. But yeah, it does definitely take a few years to kind of like work through all that because sometimes your beat will change when you sing and you don't really realize it. But then you listen back and you go, oh, wow, I'm kind of changing that up a little bit. But yeah, I think it's something you just got to take. You just have to kind of work on, you know, practice makes perfect.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. It's just one of those things. Develops over the years, definitely not something that happened overnight for me because it was about the drums at first for me.
Yeah, and it has to be nice to have a vocalist like Fab that gives you an opportunity to do that. You know what I mean? You can rely on her to carry the show, but at times you can work on your own vocals, and I think that's pretty important.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like what Vincent said earlier is knowing where you like where you can and can't sing. I've worked with other vocalists and other backup vocalists that just thought they were singing all the whole time, and you got to know your place, you know? Yep. You got to know when to chime in, to ring in, and then collaborate and say, hey, is that cool? Because maybe everything you do isn't that cool, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean? And sometimes you kind of got to, you know, like back and forth, and okay, yeah, this sounds good. Eventually it just gets there, I think.
Yeah, and you know what? This is a good segue right here, I think. How much do you guys rehearse? Do you put a lot of time into that?
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Because I talked to some guys. I did an interview with a gentleman from New York, the Hitman. I love this guy. I love him. You guys should check out his music. It's Russell Alexander. He's called the Hitman, the Hitman Blues Band. Check out some of his videos. But he told me one time that he doesn't practice at all. He said his practice is playing every night. He said, if I'm playing every night, I'm getting practice, you know. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, others have told me differently, that they do a lot of rehearsal and working out things.
So with that statement, it's very, very true. But there's two schools of thought there. So if you're playing every night, fully understand that, and that's respect, because if you're playing every night, then you're going over what your set, maybe it's a set of an hour and a half or whatever it is. And say if you're going on the road for 6 months and that's your set, of course you're not going to practice the set ahead of time, you know, every morning before, I mean, because that's your rehearsal, and that's all respect. But our case is a little bit different. And the way we are built is that we rehearse 2 to 3 times a week, working on new material for the album. We're working on the set. We're working on backing vocals as a group. There's a lot of things. No offense to any other artist, because every group and band has their own methods to the greatness that they're achieving. But for us, we're a band that's continually pushing the envelope to move forward from recordings to structuring the music, going over stuff and bringing it back to the table. And we're not one minded where if one person saying we're going to do this only. So we could rehearse a song, let's say on Tuesday, and everybody takes it home. And then somebody comes up with a different idea for Thursday, and it's like, oh, I didn't even see that. So we start working on that idea. But then we have a show, so we have to work on that song. So at the end of the day, whatever works for each band is it's great. But we got an album coming out, so we've got to keep working on new stuff.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm saying? So we have to be
absolutely
working on stuff and working on stuff. So we kind of split our rehearsals in half a little bit. We'll go over the set maybe the first hour. And maybe hour and a half, and then the second half we'll go into new stuff, and you know, work on new parts and stuff like that for the album, and then just keep churning, and at the end of the day, we're just looking to create great songs. So for us, and then each one of us rehearses at home and works on their craft away from the band, you know, to be good when they walk in the rehearsal studio. For us, you can't show up and just find it, and the reason is that people come and see us play. And they work hard on their jobs, and they come see us play. We have to do a great job in preparing for them, because if they're going to spend their cash and that's important to us, and we feel that we owe it to them to do the best we can to provide the best entertainment we can for them.
Sure, that's a great attitude.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
And that's we're going to wind
and
it down
that's
here.
That's another thing too, as a singer too. It's always driving me crazy. And that's again, like you said, a preference, whatever. But to me, I just find it so obnoxious when you go see a band.
Yeah.
And the first song, the singer is not warmed up. And they use that song as a warm up. And I always thought, man, really? Like, you're the moment the show starts,
be ready to go.
Be ready. You
yeah,
should
be ready to
it's
go.
Not, this is not a rehearsal. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is your show. So
sure.
I've always been very picky about that for myself.
Yeah.
And I know that the guys are the same. You know, once we're on. It's the show. That's it. We're on. We're ready to rock and roll. So whatever we do to get to that is what we do. You know?
Wow. That's impressive. I like that attitude. Let me say this as we're winding it down. We got a few minutes left here, but I'd like to talk to you guys a little bit. And I know this is going to be interesting. How's your writing process work? Who comes up with the ideas, or is it each one of you, you know, and then it, you know, just explain to me just what your guys' writing process is like.
We touched bases on that a little bit earlier, but we all come up with different ideas at home and different riffs. And then what we'll do is we're going to bring that into the studio, and we're going to we're going to start jamming on it, and we'll see if everybody likes it. If it's not, if it doesn't click, we don't do it. But for the most part, what we do is we collaborate on different ideas that each one of the band members might have. And when we collaborate on those ideas, we start to piece it together like a puzzle. And it's, you know, and if it turns out great, it does. We've had some great four or five songs that we've written in this last year that just came together just beautifully. And then the several songs that just bite the dust. Okay. You know, that part's not right. Or it sounds like a 1984 lick, or, you know, it just doesn't work out with the groove of the band. But, you know, the bottom line is it's 99% a collaborative effort.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, who does the lyrics though? I mean, how do you come up with lyrics for, do you get the riff and the melody first and then come up with the lyrics, or vice versa, or it could go either way?
Okay. All right. It depends. Yeah, it really depends. Sometimes I walk in the room and then, you know, we start jamming and then stuff could start popping up in my head. You know, sometimes I have an idea for a melody and it comes up and then I apply the lyrics to that. Sometimes I have written lyrics before and I feel like, oh, this could go well with this particular tune, you know. Or sometimes I just write it from scratch. So if we're in the rehearsal, we start working on a new song, I'll take whatever we got of the song that's already done, you know, usually pretty stripped down, and then just chords and rhythm and things like that. And then I take that home, I work on it at home, I write the song, the rest of the song, you know, melody and lyrics, and then I bring it back with the guys, and then we start tweaking and talking about it, or, you know, throwing ideas around.
That's cool. I'd love to talk to people about their writing process because, you know, I've over the few years that I've been doing this, and I'm starting my fifth year of podcasting, and I've done pretty close to 70 interviews in that period, but enough of my resume. But anyway, what I find interesting is I don't see a commonality with writing processes. You know, everybody has their own, and I rarely see anybody that says, well, this is, you know, this here is a template and I punch the song into that template and that's it. It's always a creative, a very creative thing.
Yeah. Gary, I want to chime in on this. So, it's funny because I was talking to someone at work. Yeah. I still have a day job.
me too.
Yeah. Right. You know, so, and it's very curious because they were very curious about just that it would become, it was a drum beat at one point, or if it was a bass riff, or just literally a vocal that she walks in with, or Jay walks in with, or I walk in with, or Vince walks in with. And it turns into this, it, to me, all the songs that have super, super magic have been that collaborative state where they're almost a jam, and then they become this verse, pre-chorus, chorus thing, and it just becomes.
Yeah.
Like a song that we're going to release is called Hey Girl. That is one of those songs. It started with the bass and drums. Then it became this melody with the guitar. And then Bob added the amazing vocal with the hook. And it just became. So that's one of those things. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, that I think that was great. I mean, that's interesting. Like I said, I mean, no two people or two bands or whatever do it the same way. That's about the only thing I could tell you that I've discovered talking to people is that none do it both the same way. And that's cool though. I mean, that's really cool. And I like you guys' approach to it. And I think when people start to hear more and more of what you're doing, man, I tell you guys, you guys got a bright future.
Thank you.
I think you do. I'm no expert, but I listen to a lot of music. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah. Awesome. And so real quick on the last part of that songwriting. And another belief that we all believe in is that if you have skin in the game, you put your heart into your hands and the song itself. So if I'm told what to play, I'm going to play it like I was told what to play. If I'm part of the process of creating the song and the magic, then I'm going to put my heart into that song and magic, which becomes a song. to me, there's the total difference when everybody as a band is moving forward together. And trust me, inside the room, we can have disagreements, and we do, about which way it goes. And that is okay, because at the end of the day, that means there's passion about creating the best song possible for Never Wonder, in turn for the fans. And that's the beauty of it. I could care less if me and Jay are having differences of opinion of a song, because I know Jay cares, or Fob or Dre, and that's okay.
Yeah.
The time and when everybody just shuts up and listens to whoever and doesn't care, that's the wrong side to be on. So, and we just love writing together, and yes, sometimes it gets crazy.
As long as when it's over, you're all friends. That's all that matters.
Yeah. No, we are.
I freaking hate. Go ahead.
That's great. Well, look.
Yeah, we butt heads a lot, but when it's not, I mean, not a lot, but we all have our opinions. You know, we all come from different backgrounds, and we all think differently. We're different people, but when it comes down, like you said, to the song, we somehow understand that it's about the song. You know, yes. so even if, and the cool part about this band in particular, I know a lot of these guys have been in other bands as well. I've been in a lot of bands. Jay's been in a lot of bands. You know, the good thing is that there's no, it's not like a dictatorship where one dude decides for everybody else.
It's a democracy.
It's really a collaboration. Yeah. And if you have something to say, even if it's about somebody else's instrument, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Then there's room for that. Do you know what I mean? Like if somebody tells me, hey, Fab, can you try it this way or whatever? Or if I hear, you know, I don't know, with the guitar or the bass or whatever, sometimes I tell Dre, hey, Dre, could you, I don't know, put a little less hi-hat on this one or whatever, you know?
Like, yeah.
It's open to do that. They're not going to look, you know, we're not looking at each other like, hey, dude, stick to your instrument, you know? Like, I know what I'm doing, you know? Because some people do that. I'm not, you know, naming names, but I'm just like, we're
I understand.
Not, you know who you are. I'm kidding. Yeah. You know, this is not what we do. We are all very, you know, open to do that. And I think also because we get along great. We're friends. We're musicians and we're partners in Crumpy Music, but we're also friends. And I think that transpires in how we collaborate with each other.
Hey, that's the thing. Finding out how to get there and what works and then make it work. I think that's what you guys are doing. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's for sure. And the results are great.
This coming Saturday, June 8th at 9 p.m., Molly Malone's. It's going to be crazy. You're going to want to be
there. Where is Molly Malone's?
Molly Malone's is in Los Angeles. It's on Fairfax. I believe it's 575 Fairfax Avenue in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And it's
get out there, folks. It's going to
be a fantastic show. You don't want to miss it. We don't play in LA all the time, so you just don't want to miss that show. It's going to be great. $10 at the door or ahead.
1 year anniversary, right?
And
one year anniversary
as well. And if you want all the details about the band, go to neverwonder.com or follow us on all the social media. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram, Facebook, or you can download us on iTunes and Spotify as well.
And at the same
time,
hey, make sure you like my page, the Blues Highway, just Blues Highway 61. That's all you have to search. And everybody out there, like my page too. And I will encourage people to follow you guys definitely on social media. That was awesome, guys. I tell you what, I don't think I've ever had so much fun doing an interview.
Thank you.
You guys are a trip, man. I'm telling you. I'm trying to keep my face straight. You know, I'm trying not to laugh while you guys are doing this because it's so funny, you know.
Hey, so.
Okay, man. Listen, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much. I had so much fun doing this. Like I said, I got tears running down my face. You know, thanks a lot for that. My sides hurt. You know, I'm laughing. I'm telling you. This is great. One of these days, I hope to get to see you guys because I can imagine all this on stage. Do you have that kind of interaction on stage?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
And it goes back. I mean, Jay kind of said it one day in one interview. So it's like, I just got to have fun. You know, the music is serious. Don't get me wrong. We're passionate and all that stuff, but we're also goofing around on stage and laughing at each other and
gotta have fun. And,
we don't take
ourselves too seriously.
That's the best way to be. And let me tell you what, your music is awesome and I can't wait to hear more. You're gonna have to maybe help me out one of these days and sort out what was the older stuff and the newer stuff, because
I can do that. I can do that.
No, yeah, problem. That would be great.
And, we also got some new stuff coming up that you want
to see. Yeah, and get it to me. And you know, work with
new record's gonna be up there.
And work with Doug. When I get this done, I'm gonna try to get this done in the next few days so it's up before Saturday. And then I'll let Doug know and he'll let you know.
Thank you.
Sounds great.
Perfect. Awesome.
Okay. You got one of the best publicists in the business, just so you know.
Doug does a great job.
He really does. I love Doug to death. Okay, guys, take it easy. Have a great evening.
Thanks, Gary. All right,
take care.
Thank you. Thanks, Gary.
Bye-bye.
See you later, man.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thank you, Dre, Fabienne, Vincent, and Jay for a great interview. They are Never Wonder. Check out their music wherever you pick up your music online. And be sure to visit the website neverwonder.com. Here is their song from their EP, Give It All. Enjoy and stop by blueshighwayus61.com and click on interviews to check out this conversation.
This has been a special interview Blues Highway podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to check out all of the interviews on my website, blueshighwayus61.com, and click on interviews. This is the Soul Man. For updates about the universe of the Blues Highway podcast, be sure to like my page on Facebook. Search Blues Highway 61. And there's also a Blues Highway Express group that you may want to check out and join. Contact the Blues Highway at blueshighwaydj@gmail.com. This is a production of the Blues Highway DJ Service and the Licking County Blues Society. Thank you for listening.